We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Jonah Cameron, John Ritchie. Training camp for the Eagles, about 4 weeks away. They get going to camp July 26th. We're under a month. Hold on. I mean, I feel like I always have to let it fly. All right, I think I can
that
now.
That was my favorite song, 1986, 1987, and my parents had it on record that I wore out.
It's just one of the greats of all time.
You know, it gets to the end of the song, and you put it back at the beginning of the song. I just sat there for weeks at a time.
Billie Jean or Johnny B. Good?
Oh, man.
Billie King. How'd I say Billie King?
I was like, what?
Billie Jean or Johnny B. Good?
Johnny B. Good.
I think so, too.
But I love Billie Jean.
It's Johnny B. Good. That's the correct
answer. It is. All right, let's talk some Eagles football. Our first guest of the day does a great job covering the Eagles 4 weeks of training camp, and Mr. Elliot Shore Parks will be on the beat as he is every year. How you been, Elliot?
Going on, guys. I can't believe it's only a month away. Not even a month. I mean, I'm super pumped to get down there.
Dude, what's a bigger deal, training camp or your wedding up ahead?
Well, I'll tell you this. I know my fiance is not listening right now, so maybe I can I can say training camp, you know?
There you go.
The wedding's only one day. I get a full month of content out of training camp.
Love it. Elliot, we're happy for you. Congratulations, of course, on what's
Thank
up
you,
ahead.
Yeah.
Let's get to it. John and I kind of cranked up today on just sort of figuring out who's the second most important Eagle behind Jalen Hurts, and obviously a lot of different ways to attack it. Who would your player be and why?
Yeah. So I will say it was a day where I am proud to say that I do the pod with James because I believe he got the answer correct. It is Hassan Reddick. I think that when you talk about this upcoming season and you take Jalen out of it, the most important thing the team has to do is get after the quarterback, right? I think last year was far too inconsistent. They really didn't have any premier pass rushers, and that's what they're paying Hassan Reddick to do, double-digit sacks the last 2 years. If you told me Hassan Reddick had double-digit sacks again, I can almost guarantee you they're a top five defense in the NFL, because if the pass rush gets home, they have the talent in the secondary and they have presumably better linebacker play. So I think that's really what it comes down to. But really quick, I'll say if it's not going to do Hassan Reddick, I think Miles Sanders is high up on the list too. If they get a dangerous weapon out of the backfield with all the other weapons they already have, this offense could really be, you know, one of the elite in the NFL.
So here's the deal, Elliot. I thought about Sanders. But here's why I don't say him, and it's the inverse of why I don't say what John said, which is A.J. Brown. I don't say A.J. Brown because I expect A.J. Brown to be great. I expect Miles Sanders to be average. I get the upside in theory, but I just don't think it'll happen. So I just don't believe he's that guy.
Yeah, so I don't think that's a fair way to look at him. I do think that, you know, injuries to me have been the biggest problem. I think when he's played, he has shown enough long stretches of being special. His rookie year, he was really, really good as a receiving option out of the backfield. Even last year, I thought he had times where he had really good games. I think the no touchdown thing is just kind of one of those fluky things that happened. But I think he does have the ability, you know, in any given week to have like 150, 160 yards. And I think when you look at the rest of the offense, you know you're getting in A.J. Brown. I actually think you pretty much know what you're getting in Devontae, despite the fact he's only in his second year. You know what Goddard is. You know what the offensive line is. You take Hurts out of it, Miles is the X factor on offense, because if they get a special running back, like someone that the opposing defensive coordinator has to sit down on, you know, Wednesday or whatever and say, all right, worry about number 26, that makes life easier for A.J. It makes life easier for Goddard. If they're game planning for a specific running back, that'll really help the offense.
Elliot, from what you were able to see in the OTAs, how did the coaches rotate the running backs? Was it more Kenny Gainwell because it was all passing, the way that those practices were set up?
No, not really. So it was all passing again. So there was no running the ball. So clearly that matters. I'm talking about how they're using the running back.
Yeah.
But I would say it was pretty split. I mean, Boston Scott was out there quite a bit. Obviously Gainwell was, but Miles was as well. Like when the starters were out there, Miles was out there. So yeah, it was pretty split. I don't think there was any big takeaway on how they rotated them.
And our offensive line, our second rounder, Cam Jurgens, I haven't heard a whole lot. I mean, I love the nickname, Beef Jurgens. but how likely is it he ends up becoming a factor up front for us this season?
I think it's very likely. If you would have asked me this time last year about Landon Dickerson, I would have said, I don't like the pick. He's not going to play.
Yeah.
I think it's a waste of a second-round pick.
Same.
And then he ended up playing a huge role on why this team made the playoffs, if you consider the play of the offensive line one of the main reasons. So I think Cam Jurgens is going to play. You hope it's not at center, clearly, because Kelsey is going to be the center, and unless he's injured, he'll be out there. But I think you could potentially see Jurgens come in at three different spots. I mean, I think he's going to take reps at guard, and then he will be the top backup option at center. So I'd be very surprised when the season ended if Jurgens didn't get, you know, a few hundred snaps in.
Who's the backup tight end? We'll probably run Tiger, you know, 12 personnel, two tight ends out there on the field.
Right.
Is it Jack Stoll? Seems like we got six or seven or eight of these guys at the position.
Yeah. So I do think it is going to be Jack Stoll. Last year, the coaching staff really liked him last year. I think you saw that as the season went on. He played more and more. He's a really good blocking tight end that actually is a decent receiver. I mean, he's nowhere close to what Goddard is as a receiver. But I think he'll end up being the main backup. After that, I mean, Tyree Jackson is still hurt. He flashed a lot in training camp last year. I think they would really like if he was healthy and was able to play. But at this point, I think counting on him is probably a little risky. He's torn his ACL and suffered a pretty serious neck injury. So, you know, if he can play, I think he'll get a real chance at getting reps. But outside of that, I think you're looking at Goddard taking the vast majority of the snaps, and then Jack Stoll being the backup.
Elliot Short Parks with us, a month to training camp. Hey, Elliot, obviously all this talk about players means nothing if the coaches don't, you know, dial it up the right way. Sirianni and Steichen on offense, Gannon on defense. Simple question. Do you believe in them?
Simple question, complicated answer. Because I do think last year, by any stretch, was a success. I mean, they won more games than they were supposed to. They were viewed as having one of the worst rosters in the league, and they didn't play like that. And I think the coaching staff absolutely deserves credit for it. I think Gannon is probably the most unfairly criticized person in the city right now, like maybe across all four sports in terms of what he did last year versus how he's viewed. So I do believe in Gannon. I do believe in Sirianni. I'm not sure I believe in Steichen. I'm not. Like, he doesn't really impress me. He didn't impress me with what he did in the Chargers before he got here. And now to know that he's going to be calling the plays, I know he did it last year, but I'm not sure if I believe that they can put together like a passing attack that's successful. So I have belief in Sirianni as a head coach. I think he's going to be successful. I do believe in Gannon, but Steichen to me is the one that would keep me from answering completely yes to that question.
It feels like Howie has filled all the holes that we were looking to fill. What else does he need to do before training camp?
I still think safety is something to address. I know Tart was a good pickup. He played big snaps for a good defense. So that's not an addition that just be glossed over. But at the end of the day, Anthony Harris, you really don't know what you have in him. Marcus Epps is a huge question mark. And Tart, for what it's worth, sat out in the free agency market for quite a bit, right? And it's not very often you find guys this late in free agency outside of a Bradbury where it's a bit of a unique situation. But you find a guy that's been sitting there and he ends up being an impact guy. So when you look at the defense, I mean, the offense is pretty much no holes. Like if Hurts plays well, they're completely set up to be a dominant offense. You look at the defense, I still think the safety position is one opposing offenses are going to feel they can attack even with the addition of Hurts.
Elliot, you put out a tweet 2 days ago that grabbed my attention, and I want to read it and then get your thought process behind it. Sunday morning, you tweeted, Jalen Hurts' contract situation is so fascinating. What did you mean by that?
Because I think people should prepare for the fact that they're probably going to end up paying him like $40 million a year next offseason, and I think that's a good thing. I think that where this team is going, if he takes a step forward, they're getting ready to lock down Jalen Hurts. And you know, there's a lot of different ways it can go, and that's why I think it's fascinating. Like, if he has only an okay year, if he has the year he had last year, is he going to be willing to go into that fourth year making $1 million? If he has an outstanding year, like some people think he can, are the Eagles going to be willing just to cut him that huge check that he'll deserve? If they don't, is he going to hold out? Would he take a discounted rate? Like, the fact that they drafted him in the second round is such a massive deal when you talk about leverage with a contract, right? And I shouldn't say everyone, because I know, Joe, you're not super high on him, but a lot of people think he's going to have a better year with the weapons and everything. And if that happens, he's going into the final year of his deal making $1 million.
Yeah. See, I see this very, very differently than you, and not perhaps for the reason you might think, because you're right. I'm not as high on Hurts as others. I think the Carson Wentz contract debacle will dramatically hurt Jalen Hurts' chances to get paid big money after this third year.
I just don't. And it's interesting you characterize it as a debacle, because Carson Wentz was a debacle. The contract itself actually didn't really end up impacting the team that much. If it doesn't overlap with the COVID year, I think we're probably not even, outside of the fascination of the dead cap hit, we're probably not even super fascinated.
But you'd still have
it,
the dead cap hit. You'd still have $34 million last year they could have spent on all sorts of other players.
Correct, but the cap wouldn't have dropped like $25 million, so they would have had more than enough money to do whatever they wanted. Regardless, even if you include 1 year, the debacle, they made the playoffs in the year it was a debacle, and now they have what many view as one of the best rosters in the league. So I don't think the Carson Wentz contract situation will stop them from signing Hurts, and I think they've shown they like to sign their guys early. They do it all the time. And so if they think Hurts...
Yeah, but you know what, Elliot? They do it when they really believe in the player, which is why they have not signed Miles Sanders yet. I don't think the Eagles believe in Hurts. I think there's a chance that he will get an extension, as you're talking about, after this year, but I do not think it will be for big money. I would be, honest to God, floored if that occurred.
I would not be, and I think that's the reality of what's probably going to happen.
Yeah. If he looks good, Joe, this is how they conduct business.
But does he look good because they have a great offensive line, they have quality running backs, and they have a great set of wide receivers?
Okay.
Well, there's a big difference.
Let me ask you this. If they win a playoff game, if he has a good year, if he does improve, not, you know, to being a top three guy, but if he improves 10%, 15%, what are they going to do? Tell Hurts you have to come back for $1 million?
They could. Yeah.
You get $1 million because the offensive line was good. It wasn't you.
Elliot, the Dallas Cowboys did it with
that. Has anybody hold out is going to have their quarterback hold out.
I'm just telling you this. The Vikings did it with Kirk Cousins. Not that he's great. He's average. The Cowboys did it with Dak Prescott. He's above average. I mean, there's history there. There's history of organizations saying
– other teams.
Yeah, other teams.
Other teams. The
Eagles, I get it.
I'm pretty sure the Eagles have never had anybody play on the franchise tag under Howie Roseman. And they always pay their guys early. When's the last time someone that they believed in went into the final year of the deal and they didn't pay him early and then they put the franchise tag on him? It never happens. If Jalen has a really good year, he's going to have leverage for a new deal and the Eagles are going to have incentive to sign him.
Elliot, we're going to have a lot to talk about because you and I have a very natural disagreement here.
Well, that's what makes it fun, Joe.
Yeah, it does make it fun. All right, buddy. Elliot, stay well. What's the date of the wedding?
July 9th. So 2 weeks from this – or a week from this Saturday. Wow.
Good for you, man.
Coming up. Yes, very excited.
All right, pal. See you, Elliot.
All right, talk to you. All right, man.
Elliot Shore Parks. James, what's your opinion of that? You just heard – the back and forth there, and then John's chiming in. I believe two things work against Hurts. It has nothing to do with his ability. I get his ability plays in, but the Wentz contract and the Wentz not live up to his end of the bargain. I think both will dramatically, not sort of, will dramatically hurt the chances of Jalen Hurts getting big money after this year. James?
Yeah, I think they hurt. I think that that's fresh in the Eagles' minds, but if Jalen Hurts is awesome, if he's like Wentz in 2017 or whatever and takes that massive leap where, you know, that's a far end, but let's say he's a top 10 quarterback in the league, which is theoretically possible, they could absolutely offer him a big contract. Like, that is absolutely
but
possible.
But here's my argument, John. Tell me if you buy this or not. Part of the Wentz awesomeness in 2017, and Foles proved this in 2017, was the quarterback was propped up by best offensive line in football, quality running backs with all sorts of options, pretty good wide receivers, excellent tight end, and a great play design.
I don't understand this line of thinking. You're saying they're not going to sign him because the other parts are too good?
It will take
and
them
so
more.
They won't know that it's all him? Look, all he can do is play with the guys around him and the teams that he's got on his schedule. If he does well – if they win double-digit games, go to the playoffs, win a playoff game, they're absolutely signing him to a long-term deal.
I'm with Richie, man.
I'm not.
I think they probably are.
I'll say this, and we'll get right back to the phones. I referenced the name Byron Maxwell earlier. I'll even bring out the old Dallas Cowboys wide receiver, Alvin Harper. It's easy to look good if you're Alvin Harper playing with the Cowboys when you got Aikman, Emin, and Michael Irvin.
So you're going to say
it's easy to look good if you're Byron Maxwell.
Even though you played well, we're not going to give you credit for playing well.
I'm just telling
because
you.
Because your team was too good? That doesn't make any sense.
There's a difference between being excellent and looking excellent.
Well, of course, they can determine whether he's doing the right things, if he's progressing through his reads properly. And everything we hear, what they're saying, is that he's taken steps in that regard. I expect him to look much improved this season. And, yes, part of it is because he's throwing to A.J. Brown. But a lot of it is the guy's just getting better. He's 23, 24 years old by the end of the season. He does have a bright future. I don't think you're willing to go there, though.
All right. Well, we'll see. Look, I'm rooting for the dude, but I am skeptical. That's real talk. 215-592-9494, Robert and Glenn Olden. Hello, Robert.
Gentlemen, how you doing this morning?
Doing great, Robert.
Listen, real fast, I got a kind of couple fun things before I get to my fills if there's time for the Eagles with my important player, Joe.
Yes.
Ginger or Marianne, Joe?
Absolutely, Marianne. I am a girl next door kind of guy.
Really?
Ginger's the correct answer.
I don't know if John and James Lance, I know they're married. It's just for fun and joking.
Ginger.
But I mean,
yeah, it's Ginger. It's definitely Ginger.
Definitely Ginger. I agree. Okay. Real fast, Joe. This is a goofy one because I know what Roger Rabbit.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead, Joe.
I really got to be careful with this one because the people are going to howl, but I think it.
Go ahead.
Sally Field or Pamela Anderson?
What?
I'm asking you a question, Robert.
The one's a little trashy, but of course Pamela Anderson.
Do you want Pamela Anderson with you for 40, 50 years?
I guess, yeah.
You sure about that?
Do I want Sally Field?
I think Sally Field's got her head squared on a lot more straight than freaking Pamela Anderson has.
Is she 80?
Joe.
Yeah, she's
well, I'm not talking about Sally Field today. I'm not saying I wouldn't. I'm just saying I'm talking about Prime Pam Fire? Versus Prime Sally. That's all I'm saying.
Talking about with the guy's name, Smoking the Bandit. That's Sally.
Well, yeah, the Gidget and then all the other stuff she was. I mean, the Flying
They're
Nun thing would be a little
Gidget
weird.
Gidget or
Pamela Anderson?
Dude,
Gidget
what I'm telling
or
you is
watch Pamela
I'm trying
Anderson.
To give you an all sanity. I'm trying to give you an all-time girl next door versus an all-time supermodel.
So you're
type.
Saying Gidget versus Baywatch Pamela Anderson, and you go Gidget.
I'm just telling you, the 50 years matters more to me than the one
I'll take
night.
The bad girl. I'll take the bad girl next door, Joe.
Okay, well, then you get her. Okay, fair enough.
I was going to joke with you and say, I said Scooby-Doo was my answer yesterday. I was going to say Daphne or Thelma, but I guess I know your answer is probably Thelma, Joe. You know what I mean? The cartoon character.
Yeah, you like Thelma better?
I don't know who you're talking about. I don't remember.
Scooby-Doo, the two girls on
glasses,
Scooby-Doo.
I remember the glasses.
Cut.
What's her name?
Thelma.
I don't remember that.
Thelma?
I recognize.
Thelma.
Yeah, it's Thelma. Thelma, I think. Thelma.
Robert, I got no opinion of that. No opinion.
All right. Well, and real fast, Joe, you were talking about the Brawls yesterday. Two came to my mind real fast. Remember back in the day when Chelios took a cheap shot at Brian Propp and Hextall left the ice and went after him?
1989, May of 89.
How great was that? You know what I mean?
Well, it was one of my favorite moments ever with the Flyers.
Ever.
Now, I do wish it hadn't been a one-goal game because the Flyers still had a shot. And so I think if Hexie had done it with a two-goal game, it'd been a little better. But, look, I was out of my mind when Propp got hit by Chelios. I think that was in game two,
He knocked him out cold. Yeah, he knocked him out
cold. Well, it was sick. It was disgusting. It was one of the worst hits we've ever seen.
This is probably the most hockey talk I'll do all year. And then the other one was real fast with Dave Brown. I think he came out before the playoff game or before game
That was Monaco. Game six of the 87 Flyers-Canadian series.
Was it like in his towel or something like
well,
that?
Well, you know, shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, no shirt on. It was before the game began.
Yeah, that was epic, too. Yes. So, of course, I'm in for an occasional brawl or something like that. But real fast on the Phils, you know, we beat San Diego 3 out of 4. I know they had injuries just like we do. I know the Mets have injuries. We won in L.A. 3 out of 4. Why not? We're still a good team. We're still a good team. Maybe the Mets.
That remains to be seen, Robert, to be clear, because when you lose Bryce Harper, that's a big hit.
But again, I mean, you'll hear it regurgitated a thousand times. The Braves lost to Acuna.
I know.
It's everywhere.
Well, let's not act like it's easy. Robert, give me a great feud.
All right, real fast. I'm going to go with, it can be make-believe. Or does that
sure, matter? Sure.
All right, the Hatfield and McCoys.
You got it, buddy. Robert, appreciate the call. Let's talk to Darren in South Philadelphia. Hello, Darren.
Hey, yo, Joe, I swear. Hold for an hour and the guy before me takes my answer. Unbelievable.
Yeah, Darren did have Hatfields and McCoys.
Joe, you stay making me want to wait hour plus. Like, what's up? Like, do you have something against one of your...
Let me tell you something, Darren. I got nothing but. I'm like Tupac, man. Nothing but love for you.
I called in at 10:04. You can't answer the chat.
What do you want me to do, man? I'm looking at a whole board of calls right now. I go to a Lenny, a Dominic, a Steve, a Better. What's up with the name Better, John? We got a guy named Al. We got a Scott. We got a Mark. Darren, I mean, well, I don't know what to tell you, man. We had Elliot Shure Parks on. I got to mix in Richie here. I got to mix in Seltzer. You know, think of it. It's like if I'm Magic Johnson, I'm not passing the ball to James Worthy every possession. You know, I got to mix it up a little bit. Sometimes it goes to Byron Scott. Sometimes it goes to Kareem. Deal with it.
Darren, he called you James Worthy?
Nah, you're Kurt Rambis, actually.
Oh, that's fighting words right there. Kurt Rambis. Nice glasses.
I might have smushed your ice cream cone in your face.
Yeah, you should.
All right, what do you got, Darren? What?
Personally, and this might not be a popular opinion, but a part of me is the baseball player in me thinks Sneed threw that ball at Bryce intentionally. How are you perfect with your control all game and you throw a 97-mile fastball, pinpoint accuracy at this guy? It should have hit him in his head.
I find it hard to believe because of the relationship. I really do, Darren.
And the reaction, you saw it. Yeah. Like, Snow was super upset about it. He did the hat tip and everything.
Yeah, I don't buy it, Darren.
Yeah. At Bryce too. That's what I thought. Like, I can't read lips.
Well, it's because Bryce was saying stuff to him, and what Snell was probably saying is, "Hey, man, I didn't mean to do that." And to Bryce's credit, he then sort of retracted that within seconds. And by the way, Alfaro's reaction was also very empathetic. I mean, that was immediate.
Alfaro was like, "Oh, bleep!" But the
Listen, Darren, I can't prove that you're right or wrong. I can just tell you, I don't think you're right.
But I have a trade scenario that might help us in the.
Let me hear it.
What about we call the Cubs up, get Ian Happ, and that reliever Dave Robinson.
You know what? Jim Salisbury's talked about that. We're going to talk to him at 12:30. We'll get his sense of the likelihood of something like that. Cubs are going to probably be a seller. Darren, give me a famous feud.
How about the Roadrunner and the Wile E. Coyote?
That's a really good
answer.
That's a great answer.
Yeah.
The rare good answer from Darren. I like it. Let me ask you guys a question. You might have noticed there in the midst of that contentious call, and it was only in tongue-in-cheek contentious, I referenced, you know, Magic to Kareem, to Worthy, to Rambis, to, you know, Michael Cooper and Byron Scott. When, guys, will my references catch up to the 21st century? Like, John, it's like my head is stuck in the 1980s and the 1990s.
I'm aware.
Why?
Because you can't learn. You are unable to learn new things. Like, what is in your brain is sealed.
It is.
Hermetically sealed, and it will never leave. Nothing will be added. It's like those time capsules that they bury. Someone buried your brain in 1995.
Yeah.
And it contained all the stuff, everything that happened in sports up to that point, and now you're just stuck with that.
I am stuck.
That time capsule.
I think that's a pretty good explanation by you, John. 215-592-9494. The Phils lineup. We'll get to it next because there are some options, and they got to make some decisions. We'll hit that plus all the calls. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on WIP. Hey, make sure you go yard all summer long with $5 Dinger Tuesdays on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. This season, all customers will get $5 for every home run hit by both teams when you place a $25 to hit a home run wager on Tuesday MLB games. And the best part about Dinger Tuesdays is even if your bet loses, FanDuel will pay you $5 for every home run hit. Now that, by the way, means it's a win-win, right? If you win, you win. If you lose, well, you still win because FanDuel will pay you $5 for every home run. It's an incredible deal. And it's exclusive with FanDuel Sportsbook, where you can turn big swings in a big wins with America's number one sportsbook, FanDuel Sportsbook. So head over to the FanDuel account or download the FanDuel Sportsbook and sign up using promo code HAMMER. That's promo code HAMMER. Of course, you can get in on tonight's action with the local ball club playing Atlanta or all the other games and all the opportunities to bet the world of baseball when you sign up using promo code HAMMER with FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 94WIP.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.